Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehab Up Podcast. We are here to talk about the USA versus the World Special. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am joined once again by the amazing Lita. Lita, how you doing?
I'm so good. This was the first podcast we ever did together. The USA versus the World, even though it's now a year and a half later instead of just a year.
Yeah. The timing was a little weird, both in the airing of this special and in us recording. I don't even know when this aired. I watched it today.
It aired last Monday, the Monday before this most recent Monday.
That makes so much sense to me. All right. Like,
almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday. We were recording this immediately.
Oh, yeah. And
very promptly.
It's your fault, listener, for not having listened to this up until this point. We totally released it right after it aired.
And I did not watch it on an airplane at all. So I don't know why you're accusing me of that.
Yeah. Lita wrote her notes on her boarding pass. She showed me before the show.
I'm really resourceful. Well, I didn't think that they would have like a fully functional TV with like a bunch of channels on the seat in front of me. So I got on my flight like right at 8 and like, oh, okay. This is the next 3 hours of my flight.
There you go. Yes, we mentioned in the previous American Ninja Warrior proper podcast, we've been traveling the last month or so. So it's been difficult getting these podcasts recorded, but we are now catching up, and we would be remiss to not talk about USA versus the World because this was a very good special here.
Yes, very long.
Very long. It was like three hours long.
Yeah,
jeez, crazy. Like three runs for each stage. That's I think that's much more than they did before, right?
There were more athletes this time. There were six people per team.
Right, yeah, there were six people. Yeah, crazy. And also something I noticed in the opening montage, someone's not here to make friends. Yeah, somebody said, I'm not here to make friends.
Oh, my God. That's not something you hear on American Ninja Warrior. God, like you're on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
I meant Real Housewives. Like... You knew what I meant.
I didn't know. There's no difference to me.
Okay, they're different.
We don't need to talk about here to make friends. You are here to make friends. This is all about friendship.
Friendship.
Get out of here. Yeah. All right. So let's set this up. USA versus the World is basically like the Olympics of American Ninja Warrior. They bring in two other teams to compete against Team USA. They brought in this time Team Europe. And for the first time, they have traded in Team Japan for Team Latin America. And Lita's already shaking her head. And I concur with that shaking of the head.
This is horrible. This is like, we have taken a sport invented by Japan and we have bastardized it and added flames and costumes and all of these things to it to make it American Ninja Warrior. And then now they're not allowed to participate anymore. And, maybe they said no, like Japan has not been doing well the last couple of years because this is really like catered to people who train for American Ninja Warrior, not just Sasuke or any other obstacle course. So maybe they didn't want to do it anymore, but it just feels so icky to not have Japan included in this to me.
Well, a couple things. To be fair, Sasuke does have flames and they do have costumes.
Okay, I've only seen the first couple, whatever you call them. I don't want to say seasons, but
you need to get back on that because I was so proud of you and now I'm not proud of you.
I have
anymore.
To get really sick again. That was when I was able to watch it.
Yeah. Second, I do believe that they were not invited, and I believe they were also very disappointed that they weren't invited. They're very upset about it.
Where did you learn that?
On Reddit. No, the great Arsenet, big, like the biggest Sasuke super fan, essentially. She knows many of the Sasuke athletes. She's been to Japan a few times. She writes her own blog. I believe it's called The Rambling Rikun or something along those lines. Let me pull it up right here. Yes, the blog Rambling Rikun. You can check it out. She writes up stuff about Sasuke all the time. She talks about it. All the time. She mentioned on Reddit that they were, in fact, disappointed, heartbroken, she says. They wanted to avenge their embarrassing performance last year, but they were unfortunately told their presence was not needed. So
I really feel like this is very, very horrible that we have adapted this entire sport from Japan and now they're not allowed to participate.
Yeah. And, you know, like the team from Latin America, they seem like great people. But it's not even as though like we got something special in exchange for dropping Team Japan. Yeah. We got people who didn't, you know, I mean, again, like they didn't have experience on this course, but it wasn't like, you know, all right, we needed to drop Japan because we needed to get these amazing people on the show. You know, they performed very admirably, but not to the extent that we need to drop Japan.
Yeah. Also, like you have 3 hours of airtime. If you wanted to do four teams, you could do it.
Yeah. You know, it seems like there's probably some tension between like NBC, TBS, something along those lines. That's probably the reason why this happened. But it's very unfortunate. It was always so much fun seeing Team Japan. On one hand, very disappointed not to see Team Japan. On the other hand, I was actually rooting for Team USA for the first time. So.
Really?
I always root for Japan.
Oh,
I love those guys.
I see. I found Team USA very hard to root for in general this episode, but
did you?
I did. I mean, apart from like, you know, Jesse Graf, whatever, we can get into it a little bit, but even like the title of USA versus the world already sets up a kind of dynamic that I don't enjoy. And then like not having Japan here, and obviously it's not the athlete's fault, like Jesse Graf wasn't like F Japan, like hopefully, but like I don't know, it's just the whole thing felt very wrong to me. I did not appreciate this.
I mean, I'm not taking it out on the athletes though,
like, no, you yeah
are. You're okay. A terrible person. I will say one thing, I really 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 hate USA chants.
Yes, me as well. I have never agreed with you more on anything.
Like, it was the thing that, like, one of the major things that prevented me from enjoying Beastmaster.
Oh, and I was going to say when we were talking about this, now we have to go back to Ultimate Beastmaster to watch Team Japan.
Oh man. But yeah, like, I hate it. USA. Oh my God. It's the worst. I hate it.
Yes. I mean, a lot of this kind of special represents a form of like aggressive patriotism, but you know, we don't need to get too into that. But yeah, I think just it was heightened for me. Like, it's never really bothered me before. Like, it didn't bother me last year on USA versus the world, but just knowing that Japan was kind of forced out of this made it just feel worse for me.
Yeah. And then one more note about these the foreign teams. How come every time there's somebody who doesn't speak English and they have to get like somebody to do their voiceover, mm-hmm. why is it like, you know, we're listening to like a 22-year-old woman and the voice is like a 40-year-old
woman? It's like
woman.
Bob Ross. It's always so calm too.
Yeah.
It's like, I grew up doing parkour. Like, why are you so gentle? Like, these are athletes.
And like you can kind of hear their actual voice behind the voiceover, and it's always nothing like them. Like, there's no effort. Like, just use subtitles if you're gonna do that.
They should just have Matt Eisman doing it, but like in his announcer voice, like while they're talking. I feel like that would be really good.
It's better than what they're doing.
Yeah, it's not great. I don't know who they hired to do the voice actor for that.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into this. I was very happy to see that Drew Jeschel was the captain of Team USA. That was very exciting to me. Totally deserved. So let's just quickly run down the members of each team. Team USA, we had Jake Murray, our corndog eating superhero. We got Josh Levin, the rookie sensation.
Your hometown
did very,
hero.
Very well. Absolutely. Very, very happy to see Josh Levin here. Very proud of his performance. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing his performance in American Ninja Warrior season 9, even though he got skipped over in the qualifying round.
Hey, we don't know that yet. We're recording this right after USA versus World, remember?
I have precognitive abilities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We also had Daniel Gill, one of only two people to make it to stage 3 on the previous season. Drew Jeschel, of course, the last man standing last season. We had Brian Arnold, who is a now 3-time veteran of Team USA, I believe. And finally, we got Jessie Graff, the first female member of any team on any USA versus the World specials.
Yes, it was so groundbreaking. There's a girl on the course. Crazy.
Yes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're so progressive.
Oh my God. Truly, we have made it. I'm with her. Jessie Graff. I mean.
Team Europe, and this is going to be lovely, trying to pronounce all these foreign names, composed of Stefano Gisolfi, who he did in fact compete last year, and the year prior, I believe, as well.
I wouldn't know.
No, he did not.
I wouldn't know. This is why I'm shaking my head.
I think he did. So we got Stefano, then we have Sean McCall, the star of the Europe team, always does it very, very well. And we had a guy named Bjork Tonnesen, who was a design student from Denmark, our first Dane, which made me think of this show that I've really been liking called The Last Kingdom.
The Last Kingdom Ninja?
Almost. I mean, actually, the main character in that show looks just maybe a tiny bit like Daniel. Maybe a tiny. He's got the hair. It's not as curly, but, you know, good show, though. Check it out.
Sure.
Then we had Alexander Mars from Sweden. He was here last season and didn't do as well as he wanted to, but he's done very well in Sweden. And I believe he also competed in Sasuke and got to stage two, at least. But that's just off the top of my head. Then we had Owen McKenzie, a new competitor from the UK.
The stuff. And,
yes, the stuff. This was an interesting character. We only saw him run once, but he definitely left an impact. And then, of course, Tim Schieff, who unfortunately got injured and didn't compete at all, which was very, very unfortunate, actually, because he's always fun to watch on the course.
Yeah, and they didn't have an alternate, because this happened when Jeff Britton got sick. They brought in Joe Moravsky.
Yeah, you know, the USA have all of their athletes there, so it's harder to bring in an alternate from Europe just to like sit around in case somebody gets injured.
Okay, whatever. I think they could have done it.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is sad.
Then from Team Latin America, we had Carl Foe, David Sykin, Santiago de Alba, Diego Gonzalez, Dene Marmolejo, and Wid Erickson. There you go.
Okay.
Yes. We'll talk a little bit more in depth about them as they do their runs. But that was Team Latin America. They looked impressive from their packages, but I think really just the lack of experience on the course, just it's hard to compete.
Were any of the Europeans the guy who was a vegan from last year?
Tim Schieff.
That's him?
Yeah.
Sad. I wish that I had seen him run. I like should have been professional and found my notes from last year, but they're inevitably on a scrap of paper somewhere.
A previous boarding pass.
Yeah, on a previous boarding pass. I always write on boarding passes, regardless of whether I'm flying. But that was a year and a half ago, and I take notes by hand, as we know, so it's gone.
Yes. All right. So there are three heats for each stage, stage one, two, and three. Each team sends out one person per heat to compete. Whoever gets the furthest, the fastest, wins the point for that heat. Stage one, you get 1 point for each win. Stage two, you get 2 points. And stage three, you get 3 points for each win. The team with the most amount of points after all three stages wins. If there's a tie, then the tiebreaker is stage four. Two people will compete and race up the big tower on stage four. And whichever team has the winner of that tiebreaker will win the trophy, the huge trophy. So starting off, stage one, we can quickly run through the course. You know, if you listened at all last season, then you know this course. We don't need to get into too much detail, but it starts off with Snake Run, going into the Propeller Bar, then into Giant Log Grip, onto the Jumping Spider, Sonic Curve, Warped Wall, Broken Bridge, and Flying Squirrel. Daniel Gill starts us off, and he does very well. Very smooth run. He has like a small little misstep on Sonic Curve, but overall finishes pretty quickly. The top time in season 8 was 1:45 by none other than Jake Murray. And Daniel Gill finishes here at 1:47. So a very impressive time. It was going to be hard to beat, but nobody even comes close. This is when we learn that Tim Schieff has, in fact, hurt his knee in practice and is not going to be able to compete, which is, again, very unfortunate because watching Tim run is always very, really, really fun. And honestly, he probably would have beat Daniel Gill here. He's very, very fast.
Who can say?
I can say.
Okay.
Then we had Bjark Tonneson, our design student from Denmark, who, you know, he had this big package, and this happened a couple times. He just goes right away. It goes down right away at Snake Run.
Yeah.
And they showed like a replay of him and Jeff Britton, and they fall exactly the same.
I was about to say they had to bring up Jeff Britton just to rub salt in the wound that we don't have him this year on this special or on NW Proppa. We have him on Team Ninja Warrior, but like, does that count?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Also, his name is Bjark, which is very close to Bjork, so I just assumed he was from Iceland, and he's not. I learned that later in the episode, and that was disappointing.
Close enough.
Denmark and Iceland?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're from either of those countries, let us know if that's offensive.
Yeah. Finally, we had Wid Eriksson, the 26-year-old acrobat. Didn't write down where he's from, but he got caught up on the propeller bar, and then ultimately falls at the jumping spider. Never really seemed too confident on the course. He seemed a little off the whole time. Also, very interesting look from Wid.
With the hair?
Yeah, with all the hair.
Yeah, I liked it.
You probably loved it. Yeah, yeah. So much facial hair everywhere.
Yeah, he looked cool.
All right. So point goes to USA, and we get more USA chants, which I believe
did you
I
mark
write
them
down.
Every time?
I think I did write down every single time. Just like, oh, so annoying. All right. So then we go to round two. We start off with Owen McKenzie, the Londoner, who said he was basically in construction. This guy seemed incredibly full of himself.
Really? Oh my god, I didn't get that. Like,
no, he was like, either you got it or you don't, and I've got it. That's why they called me the stuff.
Okay, I don't know. Like, he has like six kids. Like, he just seems like a hardworking guy. It's like,
what, six kids
here?
Like, it means you can't be full of yourself.
I don't know. I really like didn't get that vibe from him. Maybe it's his accent.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, he's got a beautiful voice.
I mean, he was full of himself in an entertaining way.
Oh, okay.
But it's still full of himself, right? I mean, he was just like, yeah, everything's so easy for me. You know, I've just got the stuff. I'm the stuff.
I mean, is that worse than someone's nickname being like the natural, you know?
Well, no, not necessarily.
I just did not find this like to be an unusual amount of confidence from one of these people. They always have like. A lot of people talk like this, I feel like.
I guess so.
Do you think he gave himself the nickname The Stuff? Is that why you're irritated?
Maybe.
Because, like, that might have been assigned to him. I thought it was kind of a lame explanation. He's like, my nickname is The Stuff because I've got it. Like, okay. It's a cool nickname, but that was, like, not a very compelling explanation.
Yeah, who knows? I found it very interesting that he had six kids. That's a lot.
Because he looks like he's, like, 24. Which,
exactly.
Like, it's possible.
Like, when,
but...
like, yeah, like, when did you manage to pump these things out? Like,
well, he did. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
He was 6 foot, 6 foot two, tallest competitor on the course. Does pretty well. He seems a little awkward. Like, he seems like he's almost too big for the course. Like, he's just kind of like brute forcing his way through it.
Yeah, but it works. Except, he tries the warp ball three times and fails three times before he gets up on his fourth try. I'm surprised that that's not an automatic out here.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's only the case on the qualifying and city finals, because on stage one, you have a time limit. So there's no, like, you can try as many times as you want, but you're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
So I believe that's why there's not an automatic failure there. But yeah, he basically, he misses twice on the sonic curve and then comes straight into the warp wall. And he just keeps trying over and over without pausing, which you don't usually see. And I think that's why he kept failing. Like, he wasn't stopping to catch his breath. And once he finally does, he manages to get up on his fourth try. And then barely manages to make that flying squirrel transition. And there you go. Finishes the course.
Mazel. Good job, The Stuff.
Yes. At 2 minutes and 38 seconds. So, not quite as impressive as Daniel Gill, but, he manages to get through.
Did Akbar do anything with the stuff in terms of commentary? I feel like he didn't. That seems like,
yeah.
Yeah. Seems like something he could work with.
Yeah. Missed opportunity there, Akbar.
Oh, well.
There is a distinct lack of awkwardisms here.
Ugh, there always is in these spin-off shows.
Yeah. All right. Next up was Carl Foe, the 28-year-old professional freerunner from Venezuela. Very interesting package. He said he was raised in a very dangerous neighborhood, talking about how people are starving in his country. He could only eat one meal a day before getting here. He could barely even train properly. This was like very serious stuff to go into such a silly competition.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're used to like seeing so many emotional packages of like this caliber on the regular show, but I feel like you don't really expect it from USA versus the World, because these people are not cast for their stories. They're there because they're like the best athletes of their country at this sort of thing. But yeah, this was very heavy. I wasn't expecting it. He says like he opened his own parkour gym and that got him out of the ghetto. And like, this was gut wrenching.
Yes. Especially because he doesn't even do particularly well. He gets to the propeller bar and just jumps straight onto the rope, which we saw another person do as well. This is not a good technique for the propeller bar. He isn't able to hold onto the rope and he just goes right into the water. And that's it for Carl Fell.
Yep. And then we have a jarring transition, as it always is.
Yes. Next up is Jake Murray. And of course, we get some more USA chanting.
Yeah, because I don't know, when I think patriotic, I think Jake Murray.
Yes, and we get the typical Jake Murray package where we see the corn dog and the diving and the flips.
Not Rodriguez. Sorry, that was a terrible joke.
What?
You said flips.
Oh, man, that was really bad.
It's fine. We're fine. So he doesn't get to wear the fanny pack on this. Do you think he tried? And they were like, that's not part of the uniform.
I feel like if he had tried, they would have let him.
Really?
Of course, they love his antics.
I guess he couldn't really do any antics. He just had to jump into the water because he didn't have any props.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you are competing against other countries. You have to be on your best behavior.
I guess he could have had like a Star Spangled fanny pack.
Maybe that would have made it through.
Yeah.
He almost falls on the jumping spider, but manages to save himself. And Akbar is like, whoa, that is the best save I have ever seen. I don't know.
No, hyperbolic.
Yeah, I feel like Jeff Britton, Stage 3, that's a pretty good save.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot that were better than this. This was fine.
Kevin Bull's upside down thing.
Yeah. Was that saving himself, good, though? I think he was just like doing that on purpose.
It's basically saving himself. Okay. Like everybody else had failed. So it's like
preemptively saving himself.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I'll accept that.
He just like flew through this thing. No hesitation throughout the entire run, and only slows down a little bit at the flying squirrel. Seems like he's kind of running out of steam, but still manages to finish the fastest time, 1:28, a full 1:10 faster than Owen McKenzie. So Jake Murray wins the point for Team USA. Team USA is up 2 points to nothing and also nothing.
Yes. To love.
Round 3, we see Alexander Mars, the 29-year-old real estate manager from Sweden. He talks about how he plays Ultimate Frisbee and how that prepares him.
But we already know that. We know that Ultimate Frisbee is exactly the same as American Ninja Warrior. We've heard this before.
Of course. He talks about how last year he fell at the jumping spider and on the ultimate cliffhanger, and he wants redemption this year. He has made it further than anyone else on American, or not on American Ninja Warrior, on Ninja Warrior Sweden.
American Ninja Warrior : Sweden.
Yes. And he gets all the way to the jumping spider. I was thinking he's got this, right? Because surely he's been practicing all year. But unfortunately, he gets locked in, but then still slips out into the water on the jumping spider. And that's it for Alexander Mars.
He started the first ever ninja gym in Scandinavia, and it's called the Extreme Factory. And that sounds either terrifying or very cool.
Sounds pretty cool.
That sounds like the name of a stage that you could do on like Tony Hawk Pro Skater for Nintendo 64. Like you go to the Extreme Factory to play graffiti.
Hey, now, I played it on the PlayStation.
Okay, well, I didn't. Just saying. I played it on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool, but also he said he hasn't built the jumping spider to scale. So,
well, why would you build it not to scale? That doesn't sound helpful at all.
He needs to do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all right. Next up was Jessie Graff, the 32-year-old stunt woman. We got like a 5-minute package on Jessie Graff and how amazing she is.
on Jesse Graff.
And then immediately she went out on Snake Run. I was just like, oh man, after all that hype, whoops. I felt very bad for her. She seemed really embarrassed there, actually.
Yeah, we've seen Casey get emotional before, but this is like the closest we've ever seen to Jesse Graff getting vulnerable. She didn't like cry, but like you could tell she was like really upset.
She was getting close there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's clearly a lot of pressure. Like, they keep making this big deal out of the fact that she is the first woman on Team USA. And to go out like that, I'm sure she felt all that pressure like coming down on her in that moment. Must have been pretty hard.
Yeah, luckily someone had already gone out at the same spot that night on Snake Run.
And again, Jeff Britton also goes out on that spot. So hard to be too upset about it.
Yeah.
Then we had Danny Marmolejo, the top parkour athlete and stuntman from Mexico. He does considerably better than the other two here. He also did this thing. Okay, so this is where he ran into problems. He did the thing where he jumped from the propeller bar onto the rope. This time, this guy manages to hold on. However, I immediately notice after he does this that he keeps checking his hand. I'm like, wow, he really must have hurt his hand here. And you know, he goes down, he gets to the jumping spider, and Akbar goes, he's wagging his finger at the jumping spider. He says, I see you. And hey, that's my line. I was like, yeah.
I didn't catch that. That's funny. Akbar has so much self-awareness, that Akbar.
Total self-awareness. So he does complete the jumping spider, wins the one and only point for Team Latin America, I believe, throughout the entire episode.
This guy is so fun. I love him.
This guy was great. I mean, the fact that, like, again, I saw him checking his hand and there was some hesitation and slowness in his run. And I think it was all down to his hand. Mm-hmm. And I was even writing, like, he keeps checking his hand. Like, something must be really bad there.
Maybe he had the answers written on his hand.
Yeah, maybe. He unfortunately misses the final jump on the flying squirrel, but I clearly gassed and his hands must have been really beat up. And then we go to the interview with him.
This was so funny.
Christy was like, so you had something to show us. Right?
Cool, because he shows the audience his hand.
Yeah.
And it's like covered in blood. And Christina's. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, cool. So Christine says, you have something to show us, right? And he's like, yeah, my skills.
Yeah, she says, what did you just show us? He said, skills. She was like, no, on your hand. And he goes, oh, pain.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
The big bloody hand that I just showed you. I mean, crazy that he even managed to hold on to the flying squirrel in the first place.
Yeah. And like, it's not surprising that he's super entertaining. He, like you mentioned, he's a stuntman, but he does stunts for telenovelas, which is awesome, which are Mexican soap operas, if people don't know. And that's just really cool, I think.
Yep. All right, so moving on, the score is Team USA has 2 points, Team Latin America has 1 point, and Team Europe has 0 points. Moving on to stage two. This stage two, same course as, again, last season. This was the course only Drew Dreschel and Daniel Gill were able to complete this stage at all last season. It is made up of the giant ring swing, the down-up salmon ladder, the wave runner, the butterfly wall, the crazy double wedge, and the wall flip.
Is it called the crazy double wedge? Or
no, that was my editorial comment.
Okay, I was just making sure, because some of them are called like the crazy cliffhanger.
Yeah, like the down-up salmon ladder.
Yeah.
Like, terrible name.
I saw a real salmon ladder on my trip.
Like,
they build ladders because salmon have to get around like marinas and stuff. And I saw
literally a ladder for salmon.
Yes, I meant salmons. Yes, I saw all the salmons go up the salmon ladder. I saw a real one. They build like a wall underground so that like a glass wall so that you can actually see the salmon going upstream against like to go around the boats that are docked. It was very cool.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Okay, well, it was a real salmon. That's what it's based on. It's a real thing. And you know, I'm very interested in wildlife.
I never actually thought about why it's called a salmon ladder.
Because you're going against gravity.
Yeah.
Except when it's the down up salmon ladder, in which case you're going with gravity.
Yeah. Maybe you'd then call it the non-salmon ladder.
The normal fish ladder.
Yeah.
The any fish but salmons.
All right. So we started off with Brian Arnold, the 38-year-old salesman. Again, this is his third time competing for Team USA, more than anyone else. And he really wants to beat the double wedge. He's always gone on Team USA to beat the obstacle that beat him in the season prior. And so he's really hoping that he can beat the double wedge here. He saw Drew Dreschel do it. He's got a new technique that he's going to do. So he's ready. He's going to do this.
And it's going to work perfectly.
Perfectly.
Because every time, honestly, I don't know if it's every time, but very frequently when someone in their package talks about needing to beat a specific obstacle, like, we kind of know where that's going.
Yeah, typically.
They are not.
Yeah. So he's very smooth through the course, all the way through to the butterfly wall. And then gets to the double wedge. But as soon as he gets on it, it's immediately uneven. It sinks in again. I just think he's too heavy. Like, I think we talked about this on the season last year, but it just seems like it's impossible for him. Like, as soon as he gets on there, it just gets stuck in there, and there's nothing he can do to get out of it. He even tried like going over to one side and like putting all his weight on one side. There was nothing he could do to get that other side out from being stuck, and he goes down.
Yeah, and he seems so frustrated. I literally don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, he's like, I can't figure out what's happening. Like, I need to go and build this obstacle to figure out like what is happening.
Is he really that much bigger than like Drew Dreschel or Daniel Gill? He doesn't seem like it to me, but I don't know how tall he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's that much heavier than Drew Dreschel, but I don't know. Just something about the way that he just gets immediately stuck in there. It just seems like it's impossible for him.
Yeah, and that's like I feel like must be just the worst feeling. That's like, I've done everything basically I can to prepare for this, and it's an obstacle that I just like no skill can overcome.
Yeah,
apparently for him, I don't know.
All right. So next up was Diego Gonzalez, the 26-year-old industrial engineer who is a top rock climber in Mexico. They basically said top rock climber, professional rock, like they just said top for like every single top free runner.
Yeah, like who knows what that means?
Yeah, top rock climber. I also saw some people like complaining, like, Sean McCall is not the number one rock climber in the world. He's only number one by default because there are better people than him, but he's the only one that bothers to do speed and like blah, 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 blah. Like,
I mean, that's like kind of fair. Like, you can't really, it's like hard with professional athletes to say that, like, oh, this person is the best in the world, but it's like, no, they're the best who has like the resources to go and compete at these things. You know, I don't know. It's like a specific thing for me. I don't know. I don't think you could ever say anyone is the best in the world at anything.
Yeah, but like, you get where they're coming from, right? Like, he's one of the best rock climbers in the world. He's ranked the number one rock climber, like general rock climber, because apparently he's the only one that bothers to do the speed stuff.
Yeah.
But still, like, you get like the point. Like, obviously they're going to say he's the number one. You don't have to be nitpicky about it. You don't have to like take Sean down a peg.
I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I see where other people are coming from.
All right. Well, anyway, Diego is a top rock climber in Mexico. And this was really the one where it was just like, the voice was like a 40-year-old guy. And he's like this 26-year-old who has a very different voice.
He's also an engineer.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is neat. And he's adorable.
Yes. And he says he does like rock climbing routes that are much harder than this course. So he's going to crush it.
I'm sure that he will.
He goes down on the wave runner.
Yeah, but Akbar has a couple, you know, Akbar has a couple dicey comments with this Latin American team. Like, earlier he said that someone's run, like, he was like, this is going to be spicy. And like, I don't know. And then with this, he like has his, you know, Akbar is talking about keeping your L's, and he's like, how do you say L's in Espanol? Like, Akbar, come on.
I believe he also says like arriba arriba at some point.
He says hasta la vista, baby, when he falls.
That's not
which
even...
is like a German, yeah, speaking Spanish in an American movie. Or an Austrian, rather. But yeah, also, Akbar, come on, you know how to say L's in Espanol. Take like literally one Duolingo lesson. It's not that hard.
How do you say L's?
L-A. Right?
I didn't know that.
You don't know your alphabet in Spanish? Did you ever take Spanish class?
No, I took German.
Oh, well, you went to a real school that offered more than one language in lower school. Okay.
Apparently.
Whatever.
All right. So, yeah, as I mentioned, he goes down on the Wave Runner. But it doesn't really matter anyway, because we have Sean McCall coming up next, the 20-year-old professional rock climber, the number one rock climber in the world, undefeated on stage two. And we get his package. He also plays the piano. Did you know that?
What a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And I also am like almost sure I commented on this last year, but I'm always surprised when he talks because he doesn't have an accent. And I am confused.
Because he's like Canadian, right?
Oh, OK. Is that what it was?
He's Canadian,
sure,
but he lives in France.
Sure, we've had this conversation before. But yeah, I'm just always surprised.
Because people were also concerned about the technicality that he's not technically from Europe. He just lives in France. People really like the technicalities with Sean McCall, apparently.
Yeah. Well, people are just jealous because he's really handsome and
yes,
a good athlete.
He's incredibly dreamy.
And he's a pianist.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's a triple threat. Climber, pianist, handsome.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I was just like watching this guy's package. It's all about he's a piano player. He's like best rock climber in the world. Super good at American Ninja Warrior. And I was just like, so annoyed that he's like better than me at like everything. Like, why can't I just be like him? Like,
it's your dream to be a good piano player.
Well, and also American Ninja Warrior expert and also really good rock climber.
Okay. Well, you're one of three, theoretically.
Three.
Those three major tenants.
What? I'm an American Ninja Warrior expert?
Yeah, pretend, Taryn, we're on a podcast.
Okay.
Come on, we're trying to trick people into thinking we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm really good at it. Don't worry.
Okay.
All right, so Sean McCall says he performs better when there's pressure and consequences, which I liked. I think that's a fun thing.
Do you relate to that?
I do.
I don't know if I do. I feel like that's a thing that people know about themselves, like whether they do better under pressure or not. I feel like maybe.
I feel like I would often in school just like procrastinate on purpose because I did better work when I had like an hour to go to like write a paper. And
okay, yeah, I definitely don't relate to that.
Yeah, it's yeah.
That sounds horrible.
It was awesome, actually.
Okay. Well, really then just give it. Yourself like enter a piano playing competition. And then wait until an hour before, and then you'll get really good at piano.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Okay.
All right. So he's taking his time here on the on stage two, really like pausing, taking his time before the salmon ladder. And then it seems again he's taking his time on the Wave Runner. It seems like he doesn't really care about beating Brian's time. It's like it's almost like he's setting himself up on purpose to have to beat the double wedge to make it like more dramatic.
Hmm.
And then gets right onto the double wedge and sails through it. Like, no problem whatsoever. First try, yeah. Like, not even a problem.
They also mentioned that he beat Joe Moravsky last year, and it was, like, really close. And this made me think about, like, do you think Joe Moravsky was not asked? Or do you think he didn't want to do it? He probably wasn't asked.
I imagine he was. I mean, he was the replacement last year anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was like, the alternate.
So, I mean, that's unfortunate. I mean, Joe Moravsky, the only person to even come close to beating Sean McCall on stage two. Like, why are you not having Joe Moravsky here?
I mean, who would he replace, though? Like, maybe Jake Murray? Like, obviously, yeah. They want to have Jesse. Yeah.
I think Jake Murray.
They have to have Daniel and Drew.
I know Jake Murray's fast on stage one. You probably want him there. But like, I think Joe Moravsky can be just as fast as Jake Murray. Maybe slightly slower on stage one if you need, you know, that. But I don't know. I don't think we needed. I mean, we certainly didn't need a minute and 28 seconds on stage one to win that heat. You know, we didn't need that time to win any of those heats.
Yeah.
So it would have been helpful to have, you know, Joe to win one of these stage two.
Yeah.
Rounds.
Sorry, friend of the podcast, Joe Moravsky.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Sean McCall completes stage two, remains undefeated. He did say he got nervous on the double wedge. His arms were getting tired and he's not used to that. So point goes to Team Europe. The score now is Team USA, 2 points, Team Europe, 2 points, and Team Latin America at 1 point. And from this point on, I think I'll just omit Team Latin America because they don't get any more points. So we'll just
completely omit them.
We'll just not from the podcast, just from like talking about their score.
Okay. You don't have to skip them completely.
We're not going to talk about them at all anymore.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Well, we don't really need to talk about the next one.
Yeah. All right.
Oh no, but he's from Europe. Never mind.
So now we get the update. Drew Dreschel has given up his spot on stage two for Jesse Graf. Jesse Graf is now going to take his place and compete on stage two for him. He says it's a strategic move to stay fresh for stage three. Sure. I don't really buy that it was a strategic move, but I think it's fine either way. Like, I don't have a problem with it.
A really good sportsmanship, that Drew Dressel.
You said Drew Dressel. I mean, I had the thought, like, I don't know. I certainly this is, you know, I don't necessarily think this is true, but I obviously you have the thought, like, did the producers just say, hey, Drew, can you let Jesse do this? Because we really hyped this up and we don't want that to be the end of Jesse's story.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. This isn't for like any money for anyone. So like, I feel like the producers can probably do whatever they want.
I feel like if he didn't volunteer to do this on his own will, they would have asked him. So I don't think it matters either way. But I don't think they would have like forced him to do it. And I think Drew is totally the kind of like person that would have done it voluntarily anyway. So I just figured, you know, I think a lot of people probably had that thought. So maybe bring it up.
We don't get to put our tinfoil hats on very much for this podcast. So I'm down.
but regardless, I mean, very gracious of Drew to give up the spot here. You know, potentially giving up a, you know, very impressive stage two run that he could have given. So
I have a question regarding kind of like this whole thing. So before you watched this special, like, they make this big deal out of how you're like competing for national glory or whatever. Like, I'm just going off the fact that like there's no prize, so like Drew can do this kind of thing. Before you watched the special, did you even remember who won last year and the year before?
I didn't remember. I knew that Europe won the first one.
Yeah, I didn't remember last year either.
But I also remembered, I also thought Europe won the second one.
Yeah, I did too. I think it was really close. There was like a climb off or something.
There's a climb off on the first one, and then the second one, Isaac Caldeiro beat Sean Stein.
Right. Yeah. Okay, see, this was the first podcast I ever did with you, and I literally didn't remember who won. So like, when they talk about everything that's on the line, I just think about how like, this really is just something that the athletes kind of want to do individually for themselves. I think like, it's nice to win, but none of the athletes are exactly leading USA chants. Like, they all just want another chance to practice on this course and to beat it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, even in the interviews, after they complete like a stage, Christine is asking them like, what are you feeling right now? Like, what are you so happy about? Like, that I completed this. Oh yeah. And also the whole team thing.
For my country, national pride. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're totally, and I think one of the reasons why I didn't care about which team won in previous seasons was because I was just focused on Team Japan.
Right.
Like, Team Japan didn't win, and that's all that mattered to me.
So nothing matters. Yeah. There's no winners, only one loser.
Yes. All right. So next up was Daniel Gill, for stage two. Again, very uneventful. Watching Daniel Gill, because it's very smooth up until the double wedge where he just goes straight down into the water. It's kind of just one of those things where it's like double wedge just like takes you out immediately. And yes, we did skip Carl Foe. Lita was giving me a look like, what is happening here? I had like, I had like one line for Carl Foe, so I just accidentally went right over him.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Carl Foe, the 20-year-old professional freerunner, he missed his final transition on the giant ring swing and also goes down. So two fairly uneventful runs here.
Regards to Daniel Gill, Akbar says he's called the Kingdom Ninja because of his Samson-like hair, which seems very reductive to me. I really don't think that's why Daniel Gill is called the Kingdom Ninja. Am I wrong?
Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to speak to Daniel Gill's nickname and or hair.
I don't think his like religiously affiliated nickname is just because of his hair. I think it's like a broader Christianity theme, but I don't know. I only know the Torah. So maybe I don't know what that means.
Maybe he was looking for a religious nickname and was like, hey, I've got this hair.
Why isn't he like the Samson Ninja?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. Okay, I don't even know what Samson has to do with kingdoms.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that like, it's just like a biblical story that happens to exist. And I feel like, I don't know, there's a lot of kingdoms in the Bible. Like, I feel like it's more in reference to, like, the kingdom of God. But look, again,
Akbar,
I don't know.
Just wanted to talk about his hair.
I know. It just, it seems like Akbar is, like, really trying to push, like, no, he's not known for his religion. He's known for his hair. Because, like, maybe that's more, like, marketable. But that just seems to be kind of stepping on his nickname. But whatever. It's fine.
In a world where hair is more marketable than religion. All right. So finally, we had Stefano Gisolfi, the 23-year-old professional rock climber from Italy, who talked about his sister. His sister, also a professional rock climber, runs
in
the family.
That was his sister.
Yeah. What did you think it was?
I thought it was his girlfriend. What? And
she was even like, we're the only brother-sister duo to compete.
I was on an airplane. There was a lot happening. I couldn't exactly say, hey, there's turbulence. Can you pause NBC?
So, like, when you're on an airplane, the line between, like, incest and, like, not incest gets really blurry.
It gets hard to hear sometimes. And sometimes they made announcements over the intercom, and I had to make sure we weren't going down. Okay, so this makes more sense that it's his sister, because I thought it was his girlfriend, and she's talking about how, like, all he thinks about is climbing. He's constantly thinking about climbing. And I was like, this sounds almost exasperated. Like, if I would, that sounds very annoying. Like, if I was on this show and all I had to say about my partner was, like, all he thinks about is climbing.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like backhanded, yeah, for sure, if that's his girlfriend.
I mean, it's, we get that sometimes, though, and it's always very funny to me when we have a wife that's talking, and it's like, he built this whole ninja course. We had some lady sometime that was like, I wanted a pool.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not getting that. Yeah, I always think it's funny, but I guess if it's his sister, it's like, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. So, also takes the first half of this course pretty slow, but again, fairly uneventful. Makes it through the double wedge pretty easily. And point goes to Team Europe yet again. So Team Europe has taken the lead with 4 points to Team USA's 2 points. Note the lack of Latin America there.
Okay,
all right.
It was noted.
Next up was David Sykin, the 29-year-old professional rock climber yet again.
Is he a top rock climber?
No, he's just a professional rock climber.
Oh, ugh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
From Argentina, but immediately goes off to a bad start here. Starts going the wrong direction, swinging in the wrong direction on the giant ring swing. He's swinging horizontally instead of, forwards and backwards.
instead of vertically?
I realized that was the wrong way to say that. But yeah, just very poor body control here. Couldn't even get like a good swing going. And then eventually just runs out of grip strength and goes down.
Well, that's what happens when you're not a top rock climber.
I guess so. Next was Bjark Tonnesen, the graphic design student from Denmark. We now get the information. He came in second in Ninja Warrior at Denmark. So there you go. But immediately runs into trouble on the giant ring swing and really just saps most of his grip strength. And by the time he gets to the salmon ladder, he has nothing left and he goes into the water.
Couldn't handle that up down.
Yeah, and I couldn't handle that description. That took me about 5 tries.
Don't tell them.
That's why we were laughing, as I probably just like jump cut that in there. next up was Jesse Graf taking the place of Drew Dreschel.
Playing the role of Drew Dreschel.
Yes. Does pretty well here, too. Something I noticed was they showed her mom in the stands, and her mom's name is Ginny McCall. Dun, dun,
scandal.
Dun.
Is she secretly married to Sean McCall but changed her last name so she was discovered? What is the story?
Secretly married to what would be her brother? This is more incest you're talking about. If her mom's name is McCall, then Sean McCall would be the son of Ginny McCall. So why would she be?
I'm saying she married him and took his last name.
But that's her mom too. Not her mother-in-law.
But maybe Sean
stop
is her,
trying to make incest happen.
Is
all
her
right?
Step,
it's not
no,
happening.
You're okay. We're thinking of different things. I'm saying Sean is her stepfather.
What?
This makes sense in my mind.
I got it after I said what, but I was like, well, she's married to her stepfather?
No,
what are you talking about?
Her mom is married to Sean McCall and took his last name.
All right, so I'm glad we uncovered that scandal.
Good catch.
But she immediately gets the point for Team USA by completing the giant ring swing faster than Bjark did. But she's not done.
Okay, wait, hang on. This did not make sense to me. because he got to the salmon ladder. Oh, wait,
he didn't
never
complete
mind.
The salmon
yeah, he didn't
ladder.
Complete it. Sorry.
Yes.
It does make sense.
So, yeah, she gets to the Wave Runner, where this is where she fell on stage two on the season proper, and manages to make it through. She dismounts from the very back of the pyramid board. She doesn't even, like, shimmy up any at all. Big dismount, but she gets through it. Very impressive. She beats her performance last year, and then she makes it all the way to the Double Wedge. And I was thinking, like, hey, she is one of the very few people, one of only two people, who beat the first version of the Wedge in the qualifying city. So maybe she's got a shot here.
Maybe.
And what do you know? She does have a shot here because she beats it. She
USA,
got,
USA.
Oh, God. Oh. It's like nails on chalkboard. I lost respect for you in that moment. Like,
because I'm purposely trying to irritate you?
No, because I just, like, you did it, and even though you were doing it to make fun of it, it was like, sorry, you're still associated now.
Mm, now it's on a podcast forever.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not editing that out.
Okay. Well, huh. I've made my own bed.
Yes, you have. She dismounts again very early on the Double Wedge, but she does make it through, and she completes stage two, the first woman to ever compete on stage two, the only woman still to ever compete on stage two, and actually, yeah. Did some women compete on stage two in the All-Star special? Maybe.
Oh my God, I have no idea. All-Star special was so long ago.
Anyway, the only woman to compete on stage two in a proper season, and now the only woman to have ever completed stage two at all. And very impressive. Akbar is going crazy here. There's a fire blowing right now because she is hot.
That is so lame and forced, Akbar. It has nothing to do with anything.
Speaking of lame and forced, not history, herstory has been made, and you will remember the day and where you are when Jesse Graf blew through stage two.
On an airplane.
Yes.
I will remember where I was. Yeah.
Sitting in this chair 30 minutes ago.
The whole herstory thing is fine, but at this point it has become very co-opted by people who should not be saying herstory.
All right, so the point goes to Team USA. So the score now is 4 points from Team Europe, 4 points from Team USA, and that's it.
And that is all. They have won. They have won.
Moving on to stage three.
Can't take that from them.
Quickly to run through the course, we start with the key lock hang, move on to the floating boards, then the ultimate cliffhanger, the curved body prop, the hang climb, moving forward to the walking bar, and then the flying bar.
Wasn't this, like, called the ultimate cliffhanger, though, or something? Because it was, like, there was more
of
it.
You know, probably.
We've complained about this before. You can't call something the ultimate and then add more to it.
Yeah, like...
That means it was not the ultimate.
Like, ultimate cliffhanger squared or something.
Yeah, but the word ultimate means last.
You know, you can multiply last by itself.
I don't think you can. It's the final. Ugh, never mind.
All right. So first up was Josh Levin, the rookie sensation. Very happy to see him do very well here. Moves very slow, very methodically.
We're not going to talk about his package.
Talk about his package.
Okay. He worked at NASA. And of course, NASA is the exact same thing as American Ninja Warrior. Did you not know that?
Well, of course it is.
Yeah. Engineering at NASA are the exact same thing. And this is the point where my mom leaned over. She was not watching it. I had headphones in. She just said, "That guy looks Jewish. You should marry him." And so now I have marry Josh Levin.
I mean, he doesn't have a beard.
I know. But I told my mom that he's an engineer and an athlete. And, like, you know,
he's also short. I think that's, like, a thing.
I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to say that on this podcast in case he listens.
Well, I love Josh Levin, even though you would totally discount
him
from being short and beardless.
I'm saying that my mom has the blessing. She gave me the blessing to marry him.
Well, does she give you the blessing to marry people very often?
I mean, like, just if they look
like what's the pool here?
Like, if they look Jewish and probably have money, like they have a really good job and they're Jewish.
So is it like, are there like 10 people that you have permission to marry, or like,
oh, I don't keep 100? Track. I don't keep track. People with Jewish mothers know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. So, as I mentioned, he was moving very slowly, very methodically through the first half of the course, but he gets to the ultimate cliffhanger and goes very quickly through it. And then again, very quick through the body prop and flies up the hang climb and then manages to get all the way through and complete stage three. Very impressive from Josh Levin. This, again, you have to remember, this is taped like the night after the Vegas finals last year. So this is his first season competing, and he has completed stage three. You know, very, very impressive. I think he went out on the double wedge in the regular season, which was a very, very difficult obstacle. But you have to imagine, if he's able to make it through the double wedge, we may have seen him maybe make it through stage three had he made it there.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, obviously, we also see Drew Dreschel do this thing, do the same. And obviously, it's much more difficult coming off of both stage one and stage two. Mm-hmm. But still, like, he's clearly capable. And this was, again, his first season, his very first season. So I'm looking forward to Josh Levin's future because he's just really, really good. Josh really reminds me of Yusuke Morimoto, the most recent champion of Sasuke. He has like the same height. He's like the same age. I really feel like this is potentially like the new star of this show, because I think he's got like the right build for it, the right background. I think he has like the dedication. I'm really like, my money's on Josh Levin here.
Yeah. You think he's going to be the next person to win it all?
I think he could be. I think I really want to be on the lookout for Josh Levin moving forward. I mean, obviously I think Drew is still like the top guy right now. But I think, you know, Josh Levin, he's so young, like he's got so much room to grow and like be even better. Like if this is his starting point, I think the limit is really, really high for him.
OK, we'll see.
We will.
Bold claims.
All right. Next up was Santiago de Alba. And we skip him.
Yeah.
And
not just like we are skipping him like Taryn is wont to do. Some of these athletes, like the show skips him.
Yeah. And also, like, this is the only time he runs.
Yeah. This is
so
sad.
We don't see him run at all. He's just completely skipped. This is a 3-hour special.
Yeah.
With 18 athletes, and we don't see one of them at all.
And it's not like he, like, did badly. He got to the crazy cliffhanger faster than Josh did. And he gets all the way to the body prop.
Yeah. Fails at the curved body prop. And again, was faster than Josh's time. So really like an impressive run here. You know,
yeah.
Again, we usually get like, 2-hour episodes showing like, you know, like 50 people, you know what I mean? Not 50, but like lots
more
of
than
different
18.
Athletes, certainly. Apparently we have to skip over, Santiago. You know, what are you going to do? Followed up by Alexander Mars, who again moves very quickly. He gets all the way through the ultimate cliffhanger. He manages to redeem himself. And he again going much faster than Josh Levin. As I said, Josh was going pretty slow. He was being pretty measured. But Alexander Mars does fall at the curve of the walking bar. It really seemed like he might beat Josh here, but just barely misses that curved it's a little bit further trying to get that walking bar over.
Yeah, I'm confused about who these random teen girls with the giant Swedish flag are in the crowd. Where did they come from?
Weren't those his friends?
Maybe
you missed it.
They were like
he brought his friends over from Sweden to watch.
Oh, they looked really young. Okay, he can bring his friends, but they can't bring an alternate athlete for Team Europe. Okay.
Well, because they know he's going to be competing.
Yeah.
They're not going to bring somebody over and their friends to be like, he might compete on the very off chance that somebody gets sick or injures themselves.
Why doesn't he bring one of his friends who's also a really good athlete? Huh?
Maybe he doesn't have any friends who are also really good athletes.
Maybe one of those girls could have done it. You don't know. I was confused because they look like they were like 15. Maybe they are. Maybe that's who his friends are.
I think one of them
was
a guy.
Okay, whatever. I can't make these assumptions based on looking at my television.
Okay. All right. So that's it for Alexander Mars. Points go to Team USA. They're now up 7-4 from over Team Europe. Next up is Stefan Gazzalfi. And he's going through the Stefano Gazzalfi. I was writing these notes very quickly. Akbar is admiring his shoes on the floating boards. But as soon as he does, it's like he jinxes him. he starts slipping and his feet go down to the very, very edge, bottom edge of those floating boards. But he does manage to make it through.
I just thought I'm sad that the stuff isn't competing again because I miss the stuff.
We need more stuff.
Yes, we do. I'm a big fan of his now.
Of his stuff?
Yeah.
We need more packages on the stuff.
No.
So Stefano, he misses the first transition on the ultimate cliffhanger and down he goes. Team Europe, Stefano, he's done very well on stage three in the past for whatever reason, just small slip up here and that's it.
Yeah. And there was like a tiny bit of extra distance on this version. And like, it seems like if this was like the last iteration, then he would have been fine on that transition.
Yeah.
It's sad. I'm bummed for him. This is about the point where I was like rooting for Team Europe because I didn't want like a blowout.
So next up was David Sykin. And this is another great Akbarism here. Not Akbarism, I should say. Akbar, you know, bad Akbar. He goes, ooh, Buenos Aires.
What? Just name a city?
Yeah.
Okay.
He says that on the cliffhanger. Yeah, David, he does pretty well. Gets onto this the ultimate cliffhanger, but unfortunately, he starts swinging in the wrong direction. He's going backwards and forwards instead of side to side, instead of horizontally.
Yes.
And is not able to make that transition on the backside of the ultimate cliffhanger. So that's it for Team Latin America. They have been mathematically eliminated.
It's the worst kind of being eliminated.
Apparently. Next up was Brian Arnold. He says he's been to stage three times. He's always gotten to at least the last obstacle. So I said, uh-oh.
Yeah, he's never fallen on the cliffhanger or before the cliffhanger.
Yes. He takes a big break before the floating boards, which, like, I didn't really get this. I guess, like, his goal was I'm going to beat stage three. So I don't care about time. But
take a break after you beat the guy. Like on the next obstacle, that's all you have to do. And then you can take a break.
Yeah. But he doesn't. He misses out on beating Gazolfi's time. So he has to complete the cliffhanger. And really just his head is just not in this because he turns around early on the cliffhanger before he makes the transition. He turns around to make the jump back right after he jumped to that platform. So it's just like his head not in the game. But he does manage to make it all the way through to the end of the cliffhanger and then out of nowhere misses the dismount. His momentum was carrying. He was still swinging back and forth from the transition and he just kind of like let go and the momentum carried him right off and misses the platform and doesn't get credit for completing the cliffhanger.
OK, here's my question. If he had finished this, the U.S. would have won no matter what, right? So they could have had a special where Drew Dreschel just didn't run, or would they have still had him do it for fun?
I would hope that they'd still have him do it, but I totally see your point. Like I was in this moment, I was very conflicted because like I want Brian Arnold to do well, but I also don't want them to win already.
Right. I mean, they would have edited it so they didn't have extra airtime, but like Drew would not have gone.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what they would have done, but we will never know.
Guess not. He says he let the pressure get to him. He was thinking ahead too much. He was thinking about the end of the course instead of where he was in the moment. He's trying to conserve energy. He was just thinking about beating stage three as a whole. Wasn't thinking about beating Gazolfi. So that was it. His head wasn't in the game.
Yeah, and in his interview with Christine, he accidentally says, "I'm so disappointment." Same.
Man, he must have been like really like tired or something.
Probably. He was so disappointment he couldn't even form words.
He must have been like me right now, like talking about salmons and like just desperately trying to get through the end of this podcast.
Hey.
So I can go to sleep.
So rude.
I'm trying to not get sick before Vegas. All right, so point goes to Team Europe. And now it is all tied up. 7 points, Team USA. 7 points for Team Europe. And we go to the final round. And here's the thing. I love Sean McCall. I love Drew Dreschel. I was a little bit rooting for Diego here because I wanted to see the tiebreaker on stage four.
Yeah. No, me too. I was rooting for Latin America like this whole night. I think.
Well, that must have been disappointing.
Well, yeah, I mean, there wasn't, I don't know, I guess I was kind of rooting for individual athletes more than teams, but I just felt like even though Japan should have been there, like, I was rooting for these people who had, like, kind of these amazing stories and an underdog. Everybody loves an underdog.
I guess so. All right. So first up, we had Diego Gonzalez, and he was really, really struggling getting through that curved body prop, but he does make it through. That was one of the more compelling parts of the whole special, I think. He really has a good struggle face.
Yeah. And while he's on the body prop, Akbar says, "So you think you got abs?" Which is my next podcast. And it's the one that I enjoy hosting by far the most. Please tune in too. "So you think you got abs?"
You can't have beards on abs, though.
What a visual.
Yeah. Bearded abs. That's our hashtag. Hashtag bearded abs.
Fine. I thought it was salmon.
I wonder if that exists already.
I mean, that's kind of chest hair, right?
Nah, it's got to be like a beard.
It's got to be sculpted, shaped. Yeah,
like if you shave your chest hair into a beard.
But that's pecs beards.
No. It's not on your chest. It's on your abs.
It has to be moved.
You can have like full body, like chest, like all down. You know what I mean? You like shave your ab hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
here for it.
You know, I'm like, part of me is like, somebody do this and send us a picture of it. And then
no,
part of me is like,
please
don't
do that. Don't DM it to Taryn. He really wants to see it. Send it to him on Snapchat. Please don't send it to me. I don't want it.
All right. So he ends up going down on the walking bar. He misses the very first rung there. But impressive showing by Diego Gonzalez here.
Yeah, he proved himself.
Yes. And then next up is Sean McCall. He says he is not going to lose 2 years in a row in the same way. And he didn't, to be fair.
Good for Sean McCall. He's a man of his word.
Yeah. Starts out very quickly. He really wants to speed through this. He doesn't want to be beaten by time. So goes very, very quickly. Gets onto the ultimate cliffhanger. He does the same thing Brian Arnold does.
Yeah.
He turns around. I don't understand this. You just flipped over to the other side. Why do you think you're already going back? All right. So
these idiots.
Terrible. What are these guys doing? I would do so much better because I'm an expert American Ninja Warrior.
And pianist.
I bet I can sing better than him.
We have no idea if that's true.
Doesn't matter. I'm pretending it's true. I need something
okay.
here.
Okay. Weird that that's what you choose, but fine.
Because that was the... There were people in high school who sang and also played piano. I bet he's not one of them. Otherwise, he would have said so.
Okay. You're right. If you admit to playing piano, you also have to... You legally have to admit that you're also a singer.
Yes.
If you are. Okay. Got it.
If piano is your thing, then singing is not your thing. Because piano is...
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And if we've learned anything from High School Musical, it's that people can only have one thing.
Yeah, totally.
That's the whole plot of the movie, Taryn. Get some culture.
I can't tell if you're being serious or if that was like the opposite of the point of the movie.
I mean, the whole first part of the movie is that he's like, I play basketball. I can't be in a musical. And she's like, I do, I don't know, trivia or something. So I can't be in the musical.
Does it end
like Science Bowl?
Does it end with him using his musical skills to win the basketball tournament?
No, it ends up with him just doing both.
Oh.
Just winning the basketball game and then going to do the musical, I think.
Well, that's a missed opportunity, really.
Yeah. I mean, he sings a song while playing basketball earlier in the movie.
Duh! That's what I was going for. I'm a genius.
Yeah, there's some cool choreography to get you ahead in the game. The whole team is playing basketball.
It's literally what I had in my mind as a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great film.
All right. So, I don't know, what were we talking about?
how you're a better singer than Sean McCall.
Absolutely. So he gets through the ultimate cliffhanger onto the curved body prop. First thing I noticed, his hands were going over the top of the edge here, and I was thinking, oh, is he going to be disqualified? Because that seems like it's against the rules.
I didn't notice that. But that would make it easier if you're, like, gripping.
Exactly. Well, granted,
yeah.
He wasn't gripping, but, like, he had half of his hands off of the thing. Like, It seemed like, and there was even like a little barrier, like there's a little bump at the top, and he had his hands over that. Like, it seemed like not the correct way to go about it, but he fails here anyway.
So
maybe
it literally
doesn't matter.
Didn't matter at all. Yeah.
But yeah, he really starts struggling toward the end, and he can't get up that top, the ramp up toward the end of the curved body prop. And we see Sean McCall fail here.
Yeah, and his commentary about it is funny. Yeah. He says, like, it's completely anti-climb. It's like a breakdancer, which he's always wanted to be, but he's terrible at it. So maybe you're better at breakdancing than Sean McCall.
No, probably not.
Not with that attitude.
I mean, I'd love to take that one, but no, probably not.
Okay.
So yeah, there goes Sean McCall. He's not used to coming in second place here, but yet again, he is taking that mantle. And then we finally get Drew Dreschel, the man, the myth, the legend. Doesn't even take out his headphones.
Yeah, and I have on good authority that he was listening to our podcast.
Oh yeah, he was lying about the Mulan thing.
Yeah, do you like that song from Mulan?
Probably. I haven't actually.
You don't know
the
song? You never seen Mulan.
I only know Mulan through Kingdom Hearts 2.
That means nothing to me. You don't know the song though? It's a very famous song.
I'm gonna make a man out of you.
No.
That's my expert singing. That's better than Sean McCall.
That was not the song. It's a great song performed by Donny Osmond in the film.
I think I have heard it. I think it might have been in Kingdom Hearts 2.
You must be swift as the coursing river.
Let's not get any copyright claims.
That was little enough that we don't have to. Your song certainly was not copyright infringement. That was, they will pay you to never do that again.
Yes. So, yes, Drew Dreschel, absolutely listening to our podcast as he completes stage three here.
Oh, wait, I found Drew Dreschel's playlist. He told Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior Nation, his whole playlist that he listens to when he is on the course.
Did I ever mention on the podcast that the wonderful woman from American Ninja Warrior Nation interviewed me in L.A.?
I don't know, because we've talked about it, but I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
She was awesome. She got in contact with me on Twitter because I was talking about how I was going to be in LA. And she was like, hey, can I film a quick interview with you? And I was like, sure. And so she did. She took me aside in LA when we went to see the Celebrity Special Edition and filmed a little quick interview. It's on AmericanNinjaWarriorNation.com. And yeah, check it out if you want. It was, I mean, it's nothing special, but it was fun and she was super nice. So you should check out AmericanNinjaWarriorNation.com. It's a pretty cool site. They've got lots of articles about the show and interviews and stuff like that. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, this playlist has a lot of your favorites on it.
Oh, yeah.
Got In the End by Linkin Park.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's an actual favorite from middle school Taryn, I should say.
There are 2 3 Days Grace songs on this playlist, which is absolutely unacceptable. In my opinion. And some not great choices in my opinion, but you know, whatever works out, Drew. I'll Make a Man Out of You is a great
choice. How many songs are on there?
I'm just looking at it, I'm not gonna count, probably 15.
Animal I've Become, that I listened to that in middle school.
Somebody help me choose.
Eminem Lose Yourself, also listened to that in middle school.
Well, listen.
This is like my middle school playlist.
Okay, did you listen to Fireflies by Owl City?
No, probably not.
No, you didn't. I got a feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
Disturbed. Indestructible. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Rammstein. Du hast. All right. Yeah, this is literally like, I mean, I feel like middle school me and Drew Dreschel have really gotten along.
Are you a big Ellie Goulding fan?
Don't know who that is.
Wow. She's great. Also Jewish.
Okay.
Just letting you know. I'm sure you've heard Ellie Goulding songs. So she's like one of those artists that's everywhere.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, something I noticed here, as somebody who recently had to buy new headphones, why does Drew have wired headphones? Why does he not have wireless headphones here? The cord is gonna get in your way at some point.
Apparently not. What do you know? I think maybe, so he was also listening to this on a literal iPod, which like I didn't even know still existed. And I think maybe like it was like maybe the headphones were incentive to like not fall into the water, because like I don't know what it was, but like the iPod thing was weird to me because it seems like if he really wanted incentive to not fall into the water, he would have used his phone.
Well, I think that's why it was an iPod, because it didn't care if it went into the water.
Right, but he should use it as a motivator. Like,
I don't think you need that motive. Like, I think there's motivator enough to like want to do
me,
well on
if
this
it's
show.
Like, if you don't do this, I will drop your phone into water. That's like having a gun to my head.
And if you do this, you will win $1 million. Like,
no, but this isn't for that.
Sure, but like, still.
But no, it's not like that.
Well, like so he needs to introduce like the threat of losing his phone in order to be motivated for a TV show that he really like. He dedicates his life to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. If he really
I take
had
offense to this,
if he really had the confidence, he would have used his iPhone. Or maybe he's Team Android. Maybe he's one of the good guys.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But seriously, get on the Bluetooth headphones, Drew.
Do those
they're
work?
They're amazing.
Okay. Sorry, I've never tried them.
I just bought the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 wireless headphones for our trip to Vegas.
I have CVS brand.
Yes, headphones. So they're noise canceling. So like, I was anticipating on the plane, you'd probably be like, you know, talking a lot, and I just like put on the headphones. Yeah.
The worst.
No, they're great though. Seriously, wireless headphones. It's all about wireless headphones.
Okay. I'm so happy for you that you're gonna have a pleasant plane ride.
Very upset about my joke. So Drew moves very quickly through this course. He does a very early dismount on the key lock hang. Just really speeds through this. Akbar, of course, sees him as he finishes the ultimate cliffhanger. And at this point, he changes the song on his iPod.
Yeah.
Guess who he's changing the song to?
Mulan?
No.
Oh.
Akbar says, he's changing it to Michael Jackson. Just Beat It, baby.
I would be more supportive of his playlist if Beat It was on there. Honestly, if it were on there, it would probably be the Fall Out Boy cover with his genre. Anyway. Music shade. The fact that I know that there's a Fall Out Boy cover of Beat It is like definitely more like I played myself. I love Fall Out Boy. It's fine.
All right. So he changes his song to Michael Jackson and or Mulan. And he makes it through. He gets all the way through the hang climb. Finally makes it through the walking bar and all the way through the flying bar and completes stage 3. Drew Dreschel finally, for the very first time, completes stage 3. Akbar says, he says, that's the hand that rocked the cradle.
Is that an expression?
Well, yeah, but I don't really see how it applies to this situation.
What is that expression?
I'm pretty sure it has something to do with like killing babies.
What? That doesn't sound right.
There's like a Lifetime movie or something where like there's a baby murderer.
And it's
called The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Okay. Do you think this is a real expression, or Akbar is just like a really big Lifetime original movie fan?
I'm pretty sure it's an actual expression as well.
Okay. I believe that Akbar loves Lifetime. He might binge Unreal like the rest of us.
Maybe. Apparently it's The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World.
That sounds like it's about raising babies and not killing babies.
Yeah, it's apparently about women. So I really don't see how it applies to Drew Dreschel.
Oh, it's like one of those antiquated. Okay, I get it, about like motherhood.
Yeah.
Whatever. I did not learn that in history class.
What? You don't know about this?
I actually majored in women's studies and minored in
get some women friends, Lita.
And I minored in history, so can I combine those to say that I majored in history?
I guess so.
Is that how it works?
Okay. If you want to do that, I don't know why you would.
Is this why I'm unemployed? Because I have that on all my resumes.
All right. So we finally learn, twist ending, he was listening to Mulan the whole time. And Jesse loves that song.
All the force of the great typhoon. It's a great song.
Yeah. I believe you.
Okay.
It was an okay level on Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know what this means. I know it's a video game that has some Disney affiliation.
It's like the best video game.
What about the one with the vault chicks?
It's a pretty
Fallout,
good one.
Fallout not boy.
Fallout New Vegas is the best one.
Okay, I'm sure it is. And Mulan is one of the best Disney movies.
I believe you.
Yeah, probably my second favorite.
Kingdom Hearts 3 had a trailer at E3 this year, like it does every year, but it's never coming out, ever.
I don't know what you're saying.
This is how it feels when you talk about sports.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Talk about Nintendo 64, then I'll know what you're talking about.
There's going to be at least one person who tweets a cool, like, Kingdom Hearts image slash GIF at me and says, awesome.
Okay.
Taryn. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of that? People just, awesome, Taryn.
Usually I'll make like an obscure reference and there's usually like one person that really appreciates it and that makes my day.
Oh yeah, those people do not tag me in those tweets.
No, they usually don't.
I get a lot of people being like, Lita, stop talking about whatever you're talking about. No, I don't really. Everybody's really nice.
All right, so that was the USA versus the World Special. Team USA takes the win, 10 points to 7.
Yeah, and they get a real trophy. It's not like the dinky Team Ninja Warrior trophy.
Yeah, it's like twice the size of the athletes.
Yeah, it would be too heavy for the thing. Double wedge.
The thing.
Double wedge that Brian Arnold is too large for.
I heard a rumor that they're changing stage 4 to be that you have to climb the trophy for Team America, USA versus the World.
Okay, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whenever USA versus the World is, it'll be like on Christmas next year. I don't know why they're filming it like this, but or releasing it like this. But
Christmas special, everybody has to dress up as Santa.
That sounds hot in Vegas. Like, not like
I thought you were saying that sounds hot. Like that'd be really because
no.
Who knows with you? They all have big beards.
No,
is Santa like the best? Because he's got like such a big beard.
No, stop it. He is a married man. And I know he's not real. My mom told me and I ruined it for all my Christian friends.
Hey now, this is a family podcast.
I didn't really, just so everybody knows, I didn't like go around telling my friends.
Oh man, we are so off the rails.
The special is over. We have done all of our coverage.
Yeah, you can just bounce anytime you want. If you're not interested in any of this.
Oh, I thought you were saying that to me.
Oh.
Like, you can just go. I'm good. Bye.
Yeah, you can leave, Lita. I can finish this up. Okay. You know, you're not necessary.
Who knows? I don't listen to these podcasts after they're finished. You may just, like, go in here and edit in all kinds of crazy stuff about me that I have no idea.
All right, so that is the special. This is a fun time.
It's like our anniversary, but like not for a date, for like a thing, like the special.
Anniversaries don't have to be for dates.
No, I mean, it's not like 1 year because it's a year and a half. I just mean it's like for.
Oh, you meant literally like it's not the date of our anniversary.
Right.
But that is what an anniversary has to be.
No, I'm saying it's like our anniversary. It approximates it.
It's not even remotely like our anniversary.
Because this is the first thing we podcasted about. It's the year after.
Anniversary is literally like a year. There's no point in using the term if it's not a year. You just use a different term.
Maybe it feels like it.
Oh, man. So we'll be back. We are still planning on catching up with Team Ninja Warrior. We will be recording that somewhat soon. We've mentioned before, we will be in Vegas in probably just a few days.
Yeah,
by the time this is released.
5 days. Yeah.
So that's gonna be crazy. We're gonna be seeing the national finals. We will also be recording a very short special on the celebrity special of Ninja Warrior, and we might have a special guest for that.
Yeah. Taryn just special uses guest. The word special 3 times in one sentence, so you know it's special.
Very special. He may or may not be our podcasting god. Yes, Rob Sestrinino will be joining us to talk about celebrity special. I went to LA to go see this taping with Rob Sestrinino, so he'll be joining us. And it will just be a quick little fun thing about it, because it's just not like a whole lot to talk about with celebrity special.
That's what you think. I have lots of opinions.
But yeah, that should be a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. We will be recording that in the coming days as well. So lots to come to you on the way. I just recorded an episode with Rob about why you should watch Big Brother 19. That will also be released very soon. So make sure you check that out if you are interested in Big Brother at all. As I've mentioned before, I recently released an audiobook, the Big Brother 2 blockumentary. But first, that was a whole lot of fun to record, and not as much fun to edit, but I managed it. 19 hours of editing, which, you know, it happens.
It's how much goes into one episode of this podcast. So,
yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
And this is only like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So you can imagine trying to do that in the UK. But yeah, that seriously, that was so much fun to record. I'm really, really happy with it. I'm really, really proud of it. And make sure you go check that out. It's all about Big Brother 2. Such an important season in the history of the show and in reality TV in general. So lots to be interested in there. And Lita, you now have this new podcast. Plug away.
So You Think You Got Abs. No, I am hosting the So You Think You Can Dance podcast with Kelly Bedard from the Dancing with the Stars podcast. Our first episode is out. I'm so excited. It's a great show. If you like American Ninja Warrior, you probably will like So You Think You Can Dance. And if you just like dance at all, it's wonderful. There's so much heart. There's not a hint of irony in my love for it. Like, I am sometimes so cynical on this podcast, but it is so fun. Kelly's hilarious. So please check it out. It means a lot to me. I just really love it. And I'm so happy that I get to do it.
All right. So that's all we got for you. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. We are the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast. That's R-H-A-P up. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed if you want this and all of the other podcasts on that network, including the So You Think You Can Dance podcast.
Yes. And Bachelor, which has gotten amazing. I'm just going to like put in a plug for that. Bachelor podcast is so good.
And the Challenge as well, which I believe is starting a new season somewhat soon.
Yeah, because we're going to have literally 9 full months of The Challenge this year, which is
apparently
amazing.
So yeah. lots there. So you can check that out if you want. Please leave us a review on iTunes. It is very, very, very helpful. Still don't know why, but lots of people say that.
It helps people find the podcast.
That one. Yeah.
And it feeds our ego, which is really important because Terrence is not big enough.
No, it's really not. I need more. I just feed it. We've had very nice reviews.
Yes, we've been really lucky.
Very, very nice. You can also find us on robpezawebsite.com. Leave a comment on the page there if you so desire. And find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. Tweet at us. Hashtag, what was the hashtag? Salmons?
It was about beard. Beard abs?
Beard abs. No. Ab beards?
Bearded abs?
Bearded abs. Hashtag bearded abs.
Just say it. Don't show it. Tell, don't show on Twitter. Just send us the hashtag. You don't need to illustrate
that's
it.
That's the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, this is different. This is not writing. This is Twitter. It's fine.
This is like when I almost suggested to use anal for a hashtag in the Big Brother podcast.
Yeah, don't do that either.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. And also, you can find me on Instagram at Lita Grammed, promoting that now.
I don't do Instagram.
I know you don't.
Yeah. I still don't really get it, but
I don't know why you don't, though. Like,
maybe someday someone will force me into it.
Okay, fine. I guess I'm not that person, but you should get it for okay. Vegas.
So thank you very, very much for listening to our insane ramblings. It's always a pleasure, and we will see you next time.